a.m. at La BH of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
To chat. If you're a woman, to jaw. If you're a guy, to emote and share. If you're female, to debate, argue, battle words. If you're male. Good morning, Wes. Good afternoon, East. This is Dr. Ray Garendi here. Able to communicate efficiently with both genders. That's right. I can share and debate at the same time. I can chat and jaw in the same sentence. That's because I'm a highly trained communicative professional. Here's how the program works. As I mentioned at the top, the number is 877-573-7825. To reflect the popeal vegematic. That's 877-573-7825. Or if you're an acronymic individual, 877-57-EQUAL. Because we all get trophies and stickers around here, and if you're particularly efficient, you get a trophy with stickers on it. I'm a psychologist. That's what I do for a living. That's what I've always done for a living. Here on the radio, we don't do the stuff of psychology per se. We don't diagnose. We don't do therapy. We don't certainly involve ourselves if there's another therapist. But we can educate, give ideas and thoughts for you to ponder, consider, just usually one element. Oftentimes people will email me, Dr. Ray, you didn't say this, 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 and this, and this. And I'm surprised. I usually don't write back, but If I would say something like, you're absolutely correct, I didn't. Because it's not therapy. And we don't have the time to peel back all those layers. Nor do we have the right. 877-573-7825. Last night, sitting down watching Little Tube with my wife and my daughter, don't watch a whole lot of TV other than news, EWTN. Yeah, looking for me to be on EWTN. Disappointed. Even more disappointed when I see me. Another story. These reality shows on cable, they strike me in a lot of respects as technological versions of, in some respects, now don't take this wrong, the old freak shows at the circus. They find folks who are running their lives very poorly. One of these is the hoarder shows. You've seen these things? These folks basically accumulate far beyond clutter. Far, far beyond clutter. The more extreme in terms of junk and stuff and garbage and eventually rats and animals that they can get in the house, of course, the more the shrinks can swoop in. Well, this particular show, I'd never seen it before, but they had a couple of guys that went in, as I understand it, and essentially bought the house from the woman. Proceeded then to detrash the house. Interestingly enough, when they first went into the house, they went in some type of hazmat outfits. Oh, yeah! Covered from head to toe. They didn't know what they were going to find in that debris, that flotsam and jetsam. I've been waiting to use that word. That's the first time I've ever used that phrase on this program. Cleaned it out. Looked beautiful. Oh, my. When they had the cameras go back and look at this house, you'd think it was something out of Better Homes and Gardens. Now, they figured, as quasi-amateur shrinks, that in doing this, they would give this woman a clean start, no pun intended, to get control of her life and to, in fact, break this hoarding habit. I'll get to that word habit in a second. Deliberately chosen as a misnomer. To break her hoarding pathology so that when they came back and followed up on her, in this case it was 2 years later, they'd think, wow, still doing good. All she needed was that boost. Well, they were shocked. Because, in fact, the hoarding, the trash, the disarray, the clutter had started to regrow. They took consolation in saying things like, well, you know, her bathroom wasn't too bad. Bathroom was not much worse than a lot of other homes, you see. So they took consolation there. And I remember talking to the television. I do that a lot. The television in my house is really the only thing that listens to me. I remember saying to the television, well, of course, she doesn't have anywhere near the pile. When they first went in, the pile was 4 feet high, and they walked on top of it. Okay, it squished underneath them. So they took some comfort in the idea that their experiment wasn't a total failure. Because after all, 2 years later, she was nowhere near as bad as she was. And I remember telling the television, I don't think those guys could hear me, said something like, well, of course, it's only been 2 years. When you stumbled upon the scene 2 years ago, this had been building up for many, many years. And they were shocked that she didn't change. And I remember telling them, well, you don't understand. This is not a habit that if you broke it and gave her a clean start, that she would likely leave it all behind. No, this reflects something deep in her personality, her structure, maybe emotional disturbance. And indeed, you do see this a lot with severe hoarders. There are widespread, significant emotional disturbance, oftentimes mental illness. Because part of the judgment that is involved in keeping things out of control, in under control like that, is damaged. The functioning of the brain makes this person navigate life well is hurt. It's harmed. It doesn't work right. As a result, you see this in this kind of hoarding. Because there's no other rational explanation for it. This isn't just clutter. This isn't just an elderly person's house that you walk into and they've saved stuff for 57 years and it's a bit cluttered. And every open space has got stuff on top of it. No. This is stuff that's 2 feet deep on the floor. Garbage. I saw one of these shows about 6 months ago. And they had uncovered another woman who had done this. And clearly, listening to the woman speak any length of time as the folks tried to interview her, one would hear her pathology. Sadly, the woman was mentally ill. And this kind of extreme hoarding was part of her mental illness. And I've seen this as a therapist. I have seen this in people who are brain damaged or who are developmentally delayed. This is oftentimes part of their pathology. Those of you with elderly relatives that are moving into a state of dementia, all right, they're starting on the continuum. What happens? What do you do? you open up the pantry and you find 16 boxes of pancake mix. And you interpret this psychologically. You say, well, you know, they grew up in the Depression, and they're always worried about not having enough. So now that they have the money to have enough, we would expect them to store this kind of thing. No, no, no. No, this is one of the first signs of that loss of judgment. You open up the refrigerator, and there is food in there that is far beyond anything they would need. And much of it has been in there, and it's rotting. You're thinking to yourself, what's going on here? What is happening? What is happening is that there is some level of neurological destruction taking place. As a result, it manifests itself in this kind of behavior that is inexplicable to somebody looking at this. Why would mom need 74 cans of bug spray? Why? I went downstairs on the shelf and I couldn't believe it. She just keeps buying them. Mom, how many do you need? And then she gives some explanation that's sort of semi, well, you know, we've had a lot of bugs around here, and some of that stuff doesn't work as well as the other stuff, so I keep trying different stuff. And you're thinking to yourself, there's 74 cans of spray there, and many of them are replicas of the other. She has enough wherewithal to be able to offer a quasi-rational explanation, but not enough to control herself from buying this stuff. And it is a reflection, again, of this kind of mental deterioration, maybe the very front end of it, but it occurs. And I've seen this on these hoarding shows. Very few of these folks run their lives well in other areas. And from what I've seen, from the few that I've watched, not unusual at all to find a umbrella mental illness that is leading to this. This isn't just some psychological thing that you have to work through the layers of the emotional conflict so the person finally comes to understand that they don't need to have 2 feet high of garbage in their house and you can't even walk. One other factor. We have the ability to hoard. In other words, we have the money. We have the wherewithal. You can drive down the street and pick up something that somebody doesn't want because it's sitting in their front yard and it says free on it. You can pick it up. Because that level of materialism that is available was, for most of human history, not. So as a result, if you have some kind of pathology, it can manifest itself in that. Just a little clinical stuff there. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal 1. Line open. It's there. I'm not going to hoard all those lines to myself. I'm going to leave them open for you. I'm Dr. Ray. Doctor is in. Doctor is out.
Don't miss Wild Award-nominated musical The Cross in the Light, now touring as a spectacular music concert and digital projection experience in a church near you.
It just makes the whole Bible come to life. When you see it come to life, it just means so much more.
The actors were phenomenal.
It's awesome.
You all need to come see this.
21 performances, April 16th through May 16th. Buy tickets today at crossinlight.com or 734-788-7073.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
Ave Maria School of Law in Naples, Florida is offering full tuition scholarships for dedicated Catholics.
This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The scholarship offers a 3-year full tuition scholarship and a generous first-year stipend based on LSAT scores. Qualified candidates should live or study in Michigan or the Toledo area. Learn more about this tremendous opportunity by visiting AveMariaFoundation.org. That's AveMariaFoundation.org or call 734-930-3587.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Well, the Springer Guarantee is no longer in effect here on The Doctor Is In. Springer Guarantee was that if you listen to any part of the program, upwards of a minute to a minute and a half, and really once a month, we could guarantee that your children will never be on Jerry Springer. Can't do that anymore. He's not on the air. So I guess what I could say is for sure they'll never be on Jerry Springer. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini. Thank you for joining me here. Couple of things. I want to just welcome some new affiliates. Boy, oh boy. Bunch of them coming up all over the place. Mother Angelica is now 92. Wow. And so, we're going to welcome these affiliates. She's the foundress of the EWTN, Global Catholic Media Network, largest religious network in the world. Wilmington Catholic Radio, got two stations there, WBPL 93.1 FM, WJSI 91.7 FM, both in the Wilmington, North Carolina area. Bill Hamilton, the gang there, serving the Raleigh Diocese. His Excellency Bishop Michael Burbidge is there. Also, we got WPBW 102.1 FM, St. Petersburg, Florida, Megan Joe Fiore and the Peace Be With Your Radio team. Also, KRTT, 88.1 FM, Great Bend, Kansas. Donetta Robin and Divine Mercy Radio folks. Boy, oh boy. Four more stations, which means I get two more listeners. Oh, yes, that is true. Andrew, my producer man, Andrew Kruchek over there in Ann Arbor, pointed out that the Springer Guarantee was so successful for this program that basically he lost participants, ultimately ended going off the air. Well, I wouldn't rule it out. Karen from Rochester, New York, is a recent convert, and she says, you know, this Mary and Jesus relationship here perplexes me. How so, Karen?
Let me see. I want you to know I've tried very hard to find the answer to my question, and I did just finish reading Tim Staples' book, Behold Your Mother. There was very little in that book that I had a problem with. And it's taken me a while to kind of hone down what my issue is, and I think it's psychological. It has to do with my practical lived experience, both as a child and an adult, with relationships, men's relationships with their mothers. And, my childhood, I had two neighbors. One neighbor lived with his mother. He ended up shooting himself in the foot so he didn't have to go in the army. Another young man lived with his widowed mother. And ended up, when she died, he ended up committing suicide. And I guess I've always thought that it wasn't a healthy thing for men to be too tied emotionally to their mothers, that they were meant to...
Even the God man?
Well, that's my question, even the God man, and especially when he is the new Adam and Mary is the new Eve, it's sounding a little bit like Oedipus Rex or something.
Well, let me see if I can offer where your parallels are breaking down here.
Okay.
All right. First of all, we don't know when Joseph passed away. Okay? He may have passed away when Jesus was 26. Okay? Mm-hmm. So Jesus lived with his mom and dad, or foster dad, or adoptive dad. His earth dad. So we don't know that. But let's assume, given your question, that Joseph died when Jesus was a young boy. As a result, Jesus grew up with his mother. Well, the other factor there is that, not unusually, the relationships in a village like that, or in that era, in that Jewish culture, was more broad spread than just mom and kid. There were many other relatives. The clan, okay, defined the family. It really did. That's why when they talk about Jesus' brothers and sisters, they were referring to extended family.
Mm-hmm.
But let's put all that aside. The biggest parallel breakdown is that Jesus wasn't only human. He was God. So he was sinless. What you describe in the two experiences that you saw were the result of some kind of conflict, struggle, sin, whatever occurred in the humanness of that mom and that son. Well, first of all, the church has always taught that Mary was sinless. Jesus is sinless. So now, those things that you talk about in the quote-unquote Oedipus Rex-type relationship is not there. Because there has to be human sinfulness there for these kinds of conflicts to occur, or human frailty at the very least. All right, neither Jesus nor Mary operated that way. They were both sinless. So your parallel doesn't hold at all.
It's very helpful.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad I came up with something here. Bless you, Karen. Thank you, honey. Thank you for the call. What do we got? David from Massachusetts. Some people have a hard time pronouncing that word, but it just rolls off my tongue. David has a wife that has two siblings. Some bullying issues. David, who's bullying whom?
Well, the thing is, one of them is her cousin, and the other one's a little brother. They both go to separate schools. In terms of who's doing the bullying, I'm assuming it's the kids at school. She approached me, you know, telling me the situation, and they're both good kids, so it's sort of, you know, I kind of feel bad for them, but, you know, I kind of looking for something to how to approach my wife, and in the same way how to approach the kids.
How is it that your wife knows about this, but the kids' parents don't?
She's told me that the kids have spoken to the parents, so it's not something. They mostly talk with her because, you know, I'm assuming she's more approachable than the parents are, but she has spoken to them and she has told them to relay the information to the parents.
And they have?
Yes.
Well, I would think that would take your wife out of the mix.
Okay.
In other words, she can listen. She can give some helpful advice, maybe. Give some support. But ultimately, these would have to be handled by mom and dad, who you can assume, whether they're good parents or not, would have more information about what's going on. You assume it. And now you said something interesting. You said, well, I would assume that they feel they can talk more to my wife than they can to their parents. We don't know that. That's speculation. It may be that they'll just talk about it to anybody who will listen. Maybe that their parents have already checked into it and found out that it isn't happening to the degree the kids think it is, or that if it is, the parents have tried to ameliorate the situation. So I would guess that your wife's role in this would probably be limited to telling the parents what she heard and to giving the kids some emotional support. But as far as actually getting involved, I don't think she got a whole lot of leverage, a whole lot of influence, and the school might not even want to hear from her either, even if she did, even if she went to the school. She said, my nephews have told me X, Y, and Z. The school may say, well, we'll talk to the parents about this.
Yeah, well, it's not more of, you know, getting involved or anything. It's more of how to approach the kids and, you know, telling them and, you know, like giving them advice in terms of how to handle the situation.
Well, first thing, obviously, they go to the parents. Secondly, they could talk to the school people. Thirdly, they could keep a lower profile and avoid these kids. A lot of times that works. It depends upon where they run into these kids at school and how to somehow maneuver around their path so that these kids turn their bad attention on to somebody else. 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray Grady here on The Doctor Is In Monday through Friday. Be talking to you shortly if I feel authentically motivated.
Make this year a game changer with the Christopher Leadership Course. It will help you develop your God-given potential while learning fun and simple techniques for effective speaking and positive thinking. The Christopher Leadership Course will take place May 1st to the 3rd at St. Mary's Retreat House in Oxford. Space is limited, so call our local coordinator right away at 248-425-2627. Again, that's 248-425-2627.
Are you looking to lower your car payment and get into a beautiful new car, truck, SUV, or minivan with gas mileage up to 40 miles per gallon? Well, you can. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, and during our award season event going on now, you can choose from 7 acres of inventory and drive a Dodge Dart or Charger for as low as $99 per month, a new Chrysler 200 or Town & Country for as low as $164 per month, only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile. 5% of your mobile plan price goes to a pro-life or Catholic charity at no additional cost to you. More information can be found at CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Men, it's time to rise up, to accept the challenge, to become that for which you were made. Join hundreds of other men when you participate in the Diocese of Lansing's 7th Annual Men's Conference, Saturday, April 25th from 8:30 to 3 at St. Mary Magdalene Church in Brighton. This year, hear inspirational messages from Bert Gezzi and Matthew Leonard, music by Brian Flynn, and Mass with Bishop Earl Boyer. Learn more and register at acceptthechallenge.org. That's acceptthechallenge.org.
You heard of these saints who can bilocate two places at the same time? I can't do that, but I'm on my way there. I can bilocute, talk to two cities at the same time. Not as significant a sign of holiness, but hey, got to count for something. Dr. Ray Grady here. The Doctor Is In, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Getting very close to the taping dates of Living Right with Dr. Ray, the TV show on EWTN. We tape May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Coming up real shortly here. Do still have some spots open in the audience. It's a live audience show. Love to have you there. It's taped in Cleveland, Ohio. So many of you listening within my area here, we probably got about 10 or 12 affiliates, at least, just in within reasonable driving distance, depending upon how much you love me. I mean, if you love me or not, you come from Montana. Anyway, go to drray.com, drray.com. The address in the Cleveland studio is there. The, what else is there? The times of the shows, two shows a day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We feed you, and we love kids. So if you bring the kids, that is so cool. Wait, too many kids, it starts to smell in the studio. But we got air fresheners and things, you know, especially the really little ones. Love to have you. This is my personal invitation, because the larger the audience, the more fun it is. Okay? DrRay.com. Marie calling from Dayton, Ohio, with a very binary question. Should I leave my husband or stay and try to work things out? Hi, Marie.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How you doing?
What is prompting this question?
Well, it's a long story, but I'll try to condense it. I had been suffering with various mental problems. Well, not mental problems, you know. They call it mental problems, but depression and mood disorder, which seems to be related to my menstrual cycle. And in the past, I've been prone to fits of anger and outbursts, and sometimes do things and hit my husband in anger. And now I don't have those as much anymore. I finally found some medical protocols that do help me. However, my husband, after 15 years, have told me that he wants nothing more to do with me. I'm mentally ill. He wants me out of his life. He doesn't think he can love me or ever did love me.
Your question, should I leave or stay?
Well, we have a daughter. And
but wait a minute.
Right now,
wait a minute, Marie. If he is the one who is leaving, no matter what you do, is that what he said? I'm going to leave no matter what you do.
No, he's not leaving. He told me he wants me out of his home. He tells me almost every weekend he wants me out of his house. He wants me gone. He doesn't want to leave because he thinks this is his home, so he doesn't want... He's the one who supports the family. He's the breadwinner and the owner.
He says, get out.
And,
okay.
Well,
first of all, there's some legal issues involved here, and I think you need to speak to get some good legal guidance, all right? Secondly, if you're saying, should I try to work things out? Well, yes, almost always it is better to try to work things out. Find out from him. I'm sorry?
He's saying he's not open to that. He doesn't want anything more to do with me for the rest of his life.
Eventually, I'm going to get somebody that's going to email me and say, why didn't you recommend RetroVi? Well, the reason I didn't is because exactly what you're going to say, Marie, is he won't do it.
Yes.
Exactly right. You do this. Tell him you're willing to go to counseling.
He won't.
Okay, then you go yourself. You say, I'm going to go to figure out how I can be a better spouse, how I can deal with my own emotional matters and try to become easier to live with. Will you give me that chance? If he says, no, nothing's going to change, I've given you 15 years of chances. And you could tell him, well, I want to make this marriage work. I'm not going to leave. If you want me to leave, that's not going to happen. Well, then I'll divorce you. Well, I can't stop you from doing that. But I will tell you I don't want to cooperate in it. Now, given that, unless of course I can't answer this question because I don't know if there's violence. I don't know if somebody has to be protected. I don't know any of that. So, okay, so if you're just talking about him saying, I'm tired of living with you, you're an emotional misfit, and I can't deal with you anymore, then you need to find out specifics. Why does he think this? What can you do differently? Well, you don't have to answer those questions, okay, honey, because we're going up against a hard break. Get specifics. Know what it is. See if there's any chance he will give you a little time to work on yourself. so that you can become easier to live with, more responsible, more mature, whatever it is that he says, I can no longer live with you at all anymore. I will tell you this. Much of the time when people leave marriages, maybe he doesn't understand this, it creates many more complications than they ever imagined regarding the children, regarding shared custody, regarding future relationships, all manner of things that they don't see coming. So as a therapist, I tell you that is very common. But I would suggest you go talk to somebody, even if he won't. All right, Dr. Ray here. Well, I've got a heartbreak coming up here, so can't necessarily go. Interestingly enough, Sue, you were just like a lot of folks because you were next in line. All right? You were next in line, and you left. Be careful. Be very, very careful because oftentimes in my mind, I figure who I'm going to go to next. And then Andrew Krucek and I have a standard view of things, which is don't even think about who you're going to next because somehow there's some kind of telepathy that they drop off. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. When we come back, we've got your phone calls as well as my talking on The Doctor Is In, a production of Ave Maria Radio Communications in conjunction with the EWTN, Global Catholic Radio Network, heard on some, I can't keep track of how many now, 300 stations, which boosts my listening audience up to about 182, minimally 182, wildly diverse. Delighted to have you with me here. Taking another one of my mandated breaks. My grandfather, who came from Italy, worked all day without taking four breaks. I get four breaks in an hour. To me, it's all about commitment.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Saturday, April 25th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., G.A. Fuchs presents Meet the Author. Judy Cragen will be signing her new book, Amazing Graces, The Blessings of Sacramentals. This book has been endorsed by many Catholic authors, and you'll enjoy it. That's this Saturday, April 25th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at G.A. Fuchs on Stevenson Highway, just south of 14 Mile in Madison Heights. While you're there, be sure to check out Julie's other books, which will also be on display.
Heard a popular sitcom, Everybody Loves Raymond. is Catholic media's counterpart to that. Some people sort of tolerate Raymond. I'm Dr. Raymond Grindy. Delighted to have you with me. All right. Maria from Texas is calling. She wants to know if she should speak with her children about their aunt, who is apparently open about her same-sex attraction. Hello, Maria. Thanks for the call.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How old are your kids?
I have four children, and they're 11. It's a girl, 9, a boy, and 6 and 3. And I am especially concerned about my daughter, who is, of course, now beginning puberty and learning about the beauty of being a woman and growing into a woman. And she's very close to this aunt that she has.
Does she have questions about the aunt's orientation?
No, we don't live in the same state. We don't see her often. And in the past, she has not brought, my sister-in-law has not brought anyone when we are around. So it hasn't been an issue yet.
So why do you think you have to bring it up?
Well, I just wonder, because we are going to be having a family reunion, and she is bringing her partner, and we'll be together for 4 or 5 days, day and night. So I just, I pray and hope that, you know, I know that they know how we feel about, you know, this.
Let's see what your daughter asks.
Okay.
She may not even think anything of this. She may view it as, that's my aunt's friend. Or she may say, through the eyes of a very precocious 11-year-old girl, Mom, who was that lady? They seem to be more than friends. I think a lot of it's going to depend upon how open her aunt is with whom this person is. I don't know if you have to necessarily anticipate having to deal with it. You may. At that point, if you do, I would say something along the lines of, God meant it to be a man and a woman. However, sometimes some folks are not attracted that way. For whatever the reason, they are attracted to someone of the same sex. Nobody forces anything upon anybody. So people can do as they wish. And they can act upon their attraction, or they cannot act upon their attraction. Okay, that's their decision. However, as faithful Catholics, we believe that God meant it to be a certain way. That doesn't mean that all people will follow that way. If you have to explain it, you don't have to get into a whole lot of detail, but that's always a nice way to say it, because you're leaving open the idea that people don't always follow the way that God said to do it, either out of ignorance because they don't know, or out of resistance because they don't want to.
Right.
That's what I would do. But I'm not sure I'd bring anything up until if and when you see she has any concerns, or if she brings it up, or if she doesn't. You're a mother. You know how to read her. It may be that you find out that she is, in fact, confused. All right. Thanks, Maria. Thanks a lot. Peter from Wisconsin said, he's got an observation about a much earlier caller who said, I don't get it. My personal experience with young men who live with their mothers until well into adulthood is that it can breed a certain kind of psychological confusion. And she didn't understand. She's a convert to the faith, and she didn't understand. She said, well, wait, you know, how come Jesus, living with his mother, wouldn't risk that kind of emotional turbulence, that kind of, to put it in Freudian terms, sort of an Oedipus kind of complex. And my answer was manifold, but the main thing was neither Mary nor Jesus had sin, and not of a sin nature. So therefore, the complexities, difficulties, or twists and turns, potentially, of a relationship like that wouldn't happen to them. And Peter says, Dr. Ray, once more, you just didn't cover all the bases in your 3-minute answer. Hi, Peter.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Ray.
Help me out.
Well, I was just thinking back the way society was at that time, and until fairly recently in the Western world, elderly woman or a woman who no longer had a husband but had children, he would go, he would be responsible for taking care of his parents. And if he had a wife, his mother would just come and live with them, and sometimes her mother would come and live if she was widowed. And that's just the way it was. They didn't have Social Security. Women didn't have opportunities even to own property. They didn't have opportunities to earn much of a living, so they depended on their children to live out the rest of their lives, however long that was. And that's just the way it was. And also in the Bible it says you need to take care of your parents, and if you don't, you're worse than a heathen.
Yes. Good stuff. You're pointing to the fact that family relationships were much broader in those days. The family unit of American Western culture is more isolated, typically. You're right. Grandparents don't live with you. Cousins don't live with you. Families don't share the same place for resources. Absolutely right. It was much more clan, much more the clan type of existence. Okay? But, and then that would be the case if indeed Jesus and his mother were prone to sin like the rest of us. Obviously they're not, but you're right. Jesus would honor his mother in the most perfect way, and one of those ways would be to take care of her. Thanks, Peter. Good stuff. Appreciate that. I'll steal it for a future show. I better take a break. Yeah, got to take a break. One last break. Hey, I worked for close to 8 minutes in a row without stopping. That's right. The stress. It's Dr. Ray. Doctor is in. Be back.
How many of you abide by the 24-hour rule? You know, when angry, wait 24 hours and then respond? Even if you want to write that email while still in a rage, go ahead. But a wise man will push save and not send. He knows that in 24 hours, his tune will have changed. This concept is biblical. Just open the book of Proverbs. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29:20. It takes discipline, maturity, and wisdom to wait before engaging with someone while angry. Wise is what the Lord aspires us to be. No doubt at one point or another in life, anger has gotten the best of all of us. But the next time you feel the need to respond to the person who is engaging you in an argument, write it down and sit on it for a while. In 24 hours, words of wisdom will have surfaced, and the foolish tongue will have been silenced. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, the communication evangelist.
This Ave Maria radio program is brought to you in part by St. Gregory Retreat Centers, the new standard for recovery. St. Gregory Retreat Centers offers substance abuse treatment options using traditional Catholic teaching about virtue and access to daily Mass and reconciliation, combined with the latest evidence-based practices in substance abuse. More information is available at 888-778-5833 or online at stgregoryctr.com.
Ave Maria School of Law in Naples, Florida is offering full tuition scholarships for dedicated Catholics. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The scholarship offers a 3-year full tuition scholarship and a generous first-year stipend based on LSAT scores. Qualified candidates should live or study in Michigan or the Toledo area. Learn more about this tremendous opportunity by visiting AveMariaFoundation.org. That's AveMariaFoundation.org or call 734-930-3587.
Being a guy. Wedding dress,
$2,000.
Tux rental,
$75. That's right. You don't
see these TV shows, you know, with the wedding dress and the woman, and I don't know what they call those things anyway, but the guys would be just like, dress for a mess. Cesar, calling from Georgia. Hi, Cesar. How are you?
Good. How are you, doctor?
Okay, buddy. Doesn't sound like you're too good because it sounds like your wife has left the Catholic faith to join the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Well, it's been a while. We actually been together since high school. So she was already actually over there, but they were all, her whole family has been Catholic baptized, but after coming here from Mexico, you know, they left the faith because of, lack of knowledge. So ever since we've been together, you know, my faith has grown a lot. She still, attends, you know, to their meetings, but also has, goes to Mass with me and, you know, thanks to God, you know, she's allowed me to baptize our two daughters. And last week we had our third baby, a boy. I'm trying, you know, the example of a true Christian, even though I'm not perfect. And I'm not receiving communion yet either. But she's considered also, you know, marrying in the church, you know, so she can, so I can, you know, come back to receiving communion. And I don't want to, you know, go in advance, but, I know that, you know, she has that little flame, like, burning, in her, you know, to come back. But I guess she doesn't know how because her dad influences, sometimes a lot. Every time we have conversations, he always brings out stuff about, you know, Jehovah's Witness. But he himself is not an example, you know, to bring someone to what they believe. So she knows that too, and...
You think she's inching her way back to the church?
I think so. You know, last Sunday, you know, it always surprises me, you know, the way God works. Because Saturday night she said, you know, it's going to sound funny or awkward, but, you know, I feel like going to church with you tomorrow. And, you know, it makes me feel really good because, you know, I know that God's working, you know, somehow.
Well, Cesar, why don't you just let it proceed at its own pace? In other words, she is moving slower,
yeah,
slower than you'd like, but she is moving. And I think one of the more self-sabotaging things you can do is to push on her. Don't push
on
her.
No, and I'm not like that. You know, I've told her I'm never going to, you know, force you to do anything because, you know, you can't force no one to do nothing that they don't want to. But, you know, it's just like right now we're struggling a little, you know, with Josh. She just got unemployed and, you know, we just had our third baby. And we're trying to work our way up.
Well, Cesar, what are you asking me here?
Well, her dad once, you know, always asked us, you know, you guys can come move in with us. And, you know, because he has like a spare room that he's always telling us, you know, you can come in here and save money and then so you can, you know, get a better house later. But, you know, going over there is not a good thing to me because, you know, he's always bringing stuff up and always, you know, wants to bring stuff about Jehovah's
Witness. So the question is, do we take him up on his offer?
Yeah.
I don't know. Only you know your financial situation. Only you know what you would have to do to make it on your own. Only you know how much he would try to push on your wife.
Well, I mean, and another one was actually another main question. You know, she lets him influence a lot sometimes because she never says nothing to him. And that's what we were discussing last time.
Well, you got to figure, if you move in there, her slow movement toward the Catholic Church is probably going to come to a stop because she won't go to Mass because of her dad's disapproval.
Yeah.
She won't do the things that she does with you now. She might not even agree to let your little baby boy be baptized because of her dad. And the fact that not only does he have this influence on her, but now you're living with him, so he's got the financial influence. So maybe you ought to think long and hard about how to make it some other way as opposed to moving in with him, where he can truly start to influence your wife and push her off the course that she's on right now. If you say that you believe God is working in her heart, moving her toward the church, then if there's some other option for you guys to make it financially and materially other than gone and living with Dad, you might want to look into it. Thanks for the call, Cesar. You're on the lines. You're first up. No time to take any more calls because within a matter of seconds here, I will be peremptorily booted off the air by the radio schedule as well as the music. But I do thank you for keeping me company this time, as you have. I thank Andrew Krucek for his phone screaming, call picker-uppering, and producing. He is the producer man here if the doctor is in. So, walk with God. Best you can, stay on that walk. Hold your kids tightly by the hand. But, that doesn't mean, to guarantee, be faithful. Dr. Ray. See you.
The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Heart to Heart, a Catholic Women's Apostolate, meets this Thursday, the 23rd, at Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor. Dr. Ed Peters is one of the most widely known lay canon lawyers in North America. He'll take your questions from marriage to divorce, confirmation, and the Mass in an unforgettable event that both men and women are invited to. That's this Thursday starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Catholic researcher, writer, and consultant Paul Rondo focused on tactics, rhetoric, and strategy to sell the message of the truth at the Last Call to Holiness Conference.
First of all, if you want to penetrate the hearts and heads of an entire society, you're not going to know what's being sold to you. The first thing that's going to happen, you're going to be sold simply what everyone knows and everyone takes for granted. Even if everyone doesn't know and it shouldn't be taken for granted. Fetuses aren't babies, they're just part of a woman's body. Homosexuality is just like race. People are born that way. Homosexuals cannot change. 10% of the population is homosexual. Everybody knows that. First, they anoint their lies as facts.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. Paul Rondo exposes the lies of the culture of death. It's selling darkness as enlightenment. Find sounding arguments and beguiling words on our next program. It's Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3.